Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, episode 147, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. And beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Good morning, Janie.
Good morning. How is it over there in Lexington, Kentucky?
It was a little stormy last night, but nothing like they had in the Midwest. But the storms are rolling through last night, and looks like today could be another fun one. So it's normal spring here in Kentucky. And you guys, let me just take a guess.
Okay, go.
It is 89 degrees and sunny.
You know, you're pretty darn close, but we got a little bit of a warm-up, and by, I think, Thursday of this week, our temperatures are supposed to be over 100 from, like, here until October, which sucks. But right now, it's about 93 to 95 as a high.
But thinking I will high. Add, it's a dry heat.
Oh, shut up about your dry heat. Listen... Dry heat, great. It's dry and my skin cracks and I need moisturizer and sunscreen. Dry heat sucks, okay?
I often wondered if people, you know, we've joked about this many times, but I always wondered if people that actually live in Arizona think of it as a dry heat or they just think it's freaking hot.
It's just freaking hot. It doesn't matter if it's cold, wet, dry, whatever. If it's 117 degrees, it's painful. I don't care what you say.
Well, now, did you
awesome.
Did you tell me you were going for a lesson yesterday?
Oh, good. Another hot topic for me. I went to go have a riding lesson yesterday, go take my horse over to my friend's place and have a lesson. And I walked outside after the show yesterday, and I looked at my horse, and it looked like he had broken out in the acne. Like, he had pimples all over his body from, and of course by that I mean welts, so he had them all over his face, all over his neck, shoulders, chest, back, all the way down his legs. I mean, the horse was covered in hives. I felt so sorry for him. Yeah, Jet. My thoroughbred, my super sensitive thoroughbred, was completely covered in hives. So, of course, I have to call her, and I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with my horse. She's like, well, just, you know, let's see if you want anything different. And so I said, no, I'm just going to watch him. I took his temperature, totally normal, because you never know. I'm like, oh, my God, he's got the herpes. So I go to freak out.
Herp what?
And then I realize, say what?
I said Herp Watch.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Herp Watch 2011, and I clearly my horse has it, even though hives are not a symptom at all. So I take his temperature. It's totally normal. But the thing is, he sat there and let me take his temperature in his stall, free, and that's not normal. So I'm like, he's depressed. He doesn't feel good. He's got hives. I'm panicking. So I come in the house. after giving him some food, he's eating fine, no problem. He's completely acting like nothing's wrong. And then I realize, okay, what have I done different? You have to sometimes just kind of back up a little bit and think of what's been going on. I said, you know, about 3 days ago is when he started getting a couple bumps, and I just thought that they were mosquito bites. And he had a couple bumps the other day, and then he had a little bit more down his neck yesterday, and then today, boom, you know, he's completely covered in hives. So what have I done different? What have I done different? His feed hasn't changed. His bedding hasn't changed. Is it, you know, not like there's ants or anything. There's nothing. Uh-oh. About 3 days ago, exactly 3 days ago, I decided that Jet, being the big-time performance horse that he is going to be, needed a vitamin and mineral supplement. So I bought this stuff from the feed store that was just, it's just a, like, natural, it's called, like, Natural Essentials, and it's just a natural multivitamin supplement that apparently my horse is incredibly allergic to. I am such a horrible mother. Like, oh my gosh, I did that to you. I'm so sorry. My other horses, all of them are on it, and they're all totally fine. He just appears to be incredibly allergic to this, whatever it is.
And it's probably of the 1,000 ingredients in this thing that's got him.
I know. And, of course, I bought, like, this 40-pound tub of it. What am I supposed to do with 40 pounds of vitamins and minerals that my horse can't even eat? Can I take it back?
You have lots of friends, so, right?
I am an idiot, is what I am. Yeah, here, give this to your horse. Maybe he'll get welts all over his body like my horse did. Yeah.
It's like a troll experiment. You can just give it to your friends to make sure, to see if it happens to their horses.
Yeah. My other horses didn't care, but yeah, so now I'm off the supplement, and I can't wait to go out there and look at them today and see if he's any better. So, you know, as normal, when something happens with my horses, I completely panic. So good for me.
Janie, I think you're going to have to actually give us a call back while we go to Jennifer. You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
And then we're going to head to Jennifer to see what's up on today's show.
On today's show. See you later, Jamie. On today's show, it's all about horse and country. We start out with the morning with Peter Doubleday, horse show announcer extraordinaire, to provide us on the lowdown at the Devon Horse Show and Country Fair, which is now in its 115th year. So I think they've got it right by now. The ensuing interlude will be awash with the satire that and repartee that you usually expect from Glenn and Jamie. And our gift to you listeners for enduring Glenn and Jamie's Tuesday diversion is our friend Katie Gilmore of Horse and Country TV. She's going to bring us up to speed on all the equestrian drama from across the pond.
I'm trying to figure out whether that was a slap to Jamie and I. But let me work on that and then to here. Let's see. Hey, I want to remind everybody you can give us a call anytime, 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. We want to hear from you, whatever it's about. If we're talking about a topic you want to chime in on, you can give us a call. Obviously, you can also follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook page, just search for Horses in the Morning. It's usually quite active during the show. People chatting away, so you can do that as well. What else here? You can, and I believe we might have Jamie back. Are you back, Jamie?
I am back. How do I sound now?
Oh, now you sound like the old Jamie. Sounds good.
Okay,
all right, so we are at our daily. We have several daily winnings today. The first one goes out to our friend Shauna Kroll. You know, she's down there with her standardbred racing horses, and she is doing a terrific job. She posted again yesterday. We have had very good racing luck the past few days. Last night, Gem, her one horse, won. Wildfire and Commence Fire were second, and JS Victory won his qualifier. Well, congratulations. You know, that's not easy, having a stable full of horses that keep winning like hers do. So that says something about her training skills. And I kind of think it's because This is what I'm attributing it to, Shauna. I'm discrediting us because you listen to us every morning. It puts you in a good mood. You're in a good mood working with your horses, and they obviously like it. See? So notice how I turned that one around, Jamie? She also said, loved Aubrey Miller's Stable Scoop show. Truly an inspiration. If you missed our listener, Aubrey, who I know is listening right now, if you missed Aubrey's appearance on the Stable Scoop radio show, hop on over to stablescoop.com, and you'll hear Aubrey talk about how she lost half her body weight and has kept it off and is in shape now doing her thing as eventing. She was chatting on our Facebook page there yesterday about her events over the weekend. So you can find that at Stable Scoop. I have another one. Jamie, we want to welcome a new listener and contributor on our Facebook page as well, Shelby Ann Smith. We need like a new listener jingle, sort of like the Kegasus one, now that I can't play that anymore. Got to come up with that. Something that drives you crazy. Listening to you guys for the first time right now, she says, I really enjoy listening to you while I play Winnie Wars on Horse Channel, the site where I found out about you guys. Well, thank you, Shelby. We hope that you hang around every day with us. And we hope that you enjoy the show. And then I had to look up what the Winnie Wars was. Had you ever heard of that?
No. What is that, a new exciting video game I'm going to get addicted to?
Not so much. It's a little thing they put together where, yeah, I guess, you know, Horse Channel is all about people, and it's an interactive community, and they all post pictures and stuff. Well, I guess it randomly, from what I can gather, it randomly takes pictures from all of these profiles, and it puts them up against each other, and people vote on which one they like the best. So it really is just a shot to people's egos, as far as I could tell.
Wait, they post pictures of what now?
They take pictures off of the people's profiles and ads and stuff. Best I could tell, like people off of people's Horse Channel profiles, and they put them against each other. It's so-and-so versus so-and-so, and you vote on which picture you like best.
That's like a hotornot.com.
It is, kind of like Hot or Not, yes, correct. Like, as best I could tell, if somebody wants to call us and clarify that, I would be happy for you to call in and clarify it. Shelby, if you want to give us a call, 347-637-3238, and tell us why Winnie Wars is addictive. We would like to know. And now, yeah. Jamie, I know you have a couple, too.
I do. Well, a very, very special happy birthday to Rebecca Klopping. I'm sure she doesn't mind me telling everybody how old she is, right? Because she posted it on Facebook.
It's 45, right?
See, you say that, and then 30 doesn't sound so bad.
Sounds
well
bad,
done,
right,
sir.
Exactly.
She's not 45, though. She's 30.
She's just a young puppy. Jeez.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm sure she's going to come out here and see her boyfriend, Chili Pepper, who's in my backyard for her birthday. So,
happy
come
birthday,
on out,
Rebecca!
Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday. Free ride on Chili today only. Back to lessons tomorrow. well, happy birthday to her. And my second daily Winnie goes out to Los Caballos Veterinary Clinic in Chino Valley, Arizona. Why? Because that is the place where I called yesterday when my horse was breaking out in hives. And it turns out the veterinarian on call started discussing all of our recent shows. And I said, how do you know all that? Well, apparently, hello to Los Caballos, because they're all listening to the show right now. They broadcast our radio show in their office.
Oh, how cool is that?
I know. It's awesome. So they're fantastic, and we appreciate Misa Dickinson, Dr. Dickinson, up there listening. She's actually been a resident local vet expert on our show before, so we do appreciate her and her entire clinic listening.
I hope they play the recorded version, or else they open their clinic really early.
Yeah, I believe they play the recorded version. I don't think they're listening live. But hey, if any of you guys do want to call, please don't hesitate to call anytime about anything we're talking about. Let me give you the phone number, and you need to get a pin, because this is not an easy one to remember. I've got it taped to my computer screen right now. It is 347 637 3238. Give us a call on anything you want to talk about, and I'm sure that maybe we can get some calls or Facebook page on a topic we're going to talk about in just a minute here. That is for sure. But you've got some other stuff you want to talk about.
Yeah, let's just do some housekeeping stuff here. And first of all, because we do have new listeners, I want to remind everybody how you can listen to the show. There's multiple ways. Obviously, you can listen on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also listen on your phone. If you have a smartphone, just bring up your browser. Just bring up any browser and type in horsesinthemorning.mobi. And you will see a listen now button when we're live and a listen button when we're not. You can actually listen to the recorded version there. So there's a number of ways that you can listen to our show, any one of our affiliate websites. We have, 25, 30 affiliate websites now that carry our show. Any place you see our logo around the Internet, you can actually listen to the show, too. And I think where Shelby actually saw it was probably on Discover Horses, because discoverhorses.com is kind enough to put our logo really big on the left there. So I'm sure we get a lot of listeners out of Discover Horses as well. So that's all the different ways you can listen to our show. And then the other way you can listen to it is through iTunes. You can just search for Horses in the Morning in iTunes. It'll come up in the podcast section, and you can listen to the recorded version. It'll be automatically downloaded to your MP3 player every day, or your iPhone, or your iPad, or whatever.
Glenn, nobody has an MP3 player anymore.
You know, you would be surprised at the number of people who don't have iPods, but that have MP3 players of different kinds. You'd be shocked.
You know what, Glenn? I'm going to tell you something, that when I was going to replace my iPhone 3, they actually looked at me like I had two heads when I said, I need the protective case. And they said, we don't carry those anymore. We only have them for the iPhone 4.
That's his way. That's Apple's way of making a fortune.
Yeah, but you see, then I had to go to a Verizon store and an AT&T store to try to find the protective case for the iPhone 3, and nobody carried that either. Maybe you should contact Apple online and maybe order one from there, because
I got
they
a case
don't stock
for you
that.
Anyway. You don't need that crap. They sell crappy cases. Otter, OTTER. You need an Otter case.
Well, whatever it is, it needs to be able to be dropped off of a 16-2-hand horse onto a gravel driveway.
That's OtterBox, it's called, and that's what they're for. They are indestructible. They're terrific. You got to go to look up OtterBox on Amazon, and you can find it for like $25. I just ordered one for my phone. I saw a couple friends had it, and let me tell you, I love their cases. It makes it a little bit bigger and bulkier, but you can drop this off your 17-hand horse, no problem.
So I go to Google OtterBox. What comes up? The first thing, OtterBox 4. OtterBox iPhone 4.
Well, maybe
I don't
have
an iPhone 4. No.
I'm not quite sure why you didn't get an iPhone 4 while you were there. But we're off topic. Let's go to the next thing. Our prize winner back in at the Rolex show, one of the Rolex shows, we did a prize from Equisafety. They were the company, she came over for a couple minutes, that had the really bright, you know, fluorescent clothing and hat bands and things so that you wouldn't get run over by a car while you were out in the road. And they kind of looked like police vests, remember? Well, we said we were going to give one away. They were kind enough to do that. Well, we have the winner to announce right now. And the winner of the Equisafety vest is Amanda Matt. So, Amanda, if you're listening, please contact us. You can write to me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com or jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with your address, and we will get that Equisafety vest sent out to you right away. So we appreciate Equisafety contributing to that, and they are now working on distributors in the United States, and that's going very well. We should have an announcement about that soon, because they have some really cool stuff.
Well, you know what? On that note, there was just an article in the little local Arizona horse paper about a guy that was riding down the street on a dark bay, and he was wearing dark clothing, and he was hit by a car. And so that's why that Equisafety vest, if you're going to ride any time, even approaching evening, these things are fantastic. They are like you can see them from outer space. They're so
pretty
bright.
Much.
So, so definitely look into that if you are a trail rider or you're riding down the road and you at all during the evening time.
And tonight, sorry about all these announcements, but there are just a lot of them today. Thehorse.com is doing their equine herpes virus, EHV1, seminar, and it's called Outbreak, What Horse Owners Need to Know. It's tonight at 8 o'clock. Go to thehorse.com to sign up. It's a webinar, so anybody can attend this. And as I said, it's at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific Time at thehorse.com. You can go there and register now. They have a couple of veterinarians and doctors going to be talking about it and giving everybody the latest update. One other announcement is we talked about the tornadoes yesterday. Jennifer and I were watching the Weather Channel special last night on the tornado that went through Joplin, Missouri. And that's just like, oh, my God. I don't know if you saw pictures of it there, Jamie, but the hospital was, like, completely destroyed. Every window in that hospital was blown out. They at one, this is the most amazing story. A nurse said she was in a room where when the tornado hit the hospital, a 300-pound man was thrown out the window, out of his bed. He was actually a patient, was taken out of his bed and thrown out the window. It was just some incredible stories from there. And they have set up a Facebook page, and it's an interesting Facebook page to read because people are looking for people that are missing, and they're announcing people that when they're found. And it's at Facebook.com, Joplin M.O., Facebook.com/Joplin M.O. So if you want to follow things, how they're going over there, you can do that there. I got an announcement. Again, as you guys know, I volunteer with the Red Cross, and I got an email yesterday, and it says, once again, Nature's Fury has disrupted lives and displaced thousands. Just hours after a series of devastating tornadoes swept through the Midwest last night, the American Red Cross opened shelters in Missouri and Minnesota to help those whose homes were damaged or destroyed. From North Dakota to the East Coast and all throughout the South, the Red Cross has launched 25 separate relief operations in more than half the United States since March 31st. And, of course, their support is still needed. They basically are running out of money. This has been one of the worst years ever, you know, since Katrina, and even worse than that because it's affecting half the United States. So with between the flooding and all the tornadoes and everything, so they're still asking for help and still need help if you can afford to do it, anything at all. I think that's all the announcements I have, Jamie.
Okay, Glenn. Well, I'm going to ask you and Jennifer, and I think I already know the answer to this. When you guys go on vacation and you are trying to figure out what to do and you want to see the city, do you get on a horse carriage and go around for a horse-drawn tour?
We have on occasion, yes. I think the last time we did it was in Boston.
Jennifer?
Yes, we do, frequently.
Yeah.
Frequently you do. Okay.
If going to, now mind you, frequently is a relative term. We probably visit a city large enough to support that type of a operation once every couple of years.
Right. So you're not like doing this.
Jennifer doesn't like cities much, no.
Okay, gotcha. You're not a city girl. Well, there's a new bill to halt horse carriages in New York City. New York State Senator Tony Avella is formally announcing a bill on June 4th to ban horse-drawn carriages in New York City. It completely prohibits the operation of horse-drawn cabs in New York completely. I mean, they'll be gone. The public and many tourists want to see the bill passed into law, but it has not gone anywhere before. So they are going to be having a briefing June 4th at noon at Central Park to talk about this bill that they're trying to get passed. And apparently it's been in the works for quite some time. New York City is a place, to me, where the horse does not have a fair shot, okay? The places around Central Park where the horses travel is in the line with hospitals and emergency vehicles and, you know, just a massive amount of traffic. And to me, it just doesn't seem like a fair shot for the horse at all. Now, I've been to other cities where I thought maybe horses were okay. I think, like, New Orleans, like that's a decent spot for people to be on horses until it gets dark. Then you need to put the horses away because people are drunken fools. New Orleans. When I took my trip when I was like 24 years old, I went to Europe, and I went to Vienna, Austria. I did do a horse-drawn carriage tour there, but those horses were so fat and happy and lazy and well taken care of in Europe that I didn't have a problem taking the ride there. Now, you look at these other cities and a lot of places in America, these horses are not taken very good care of. And I know that you guys certainly would not hop on the carriage of a horse that you thought was, you know, looking a little bit sick. But I want to know from our listeners, do you ride on carriages in cities? Or, you know, do you take that horse-drawn tour? Or do you not support that kind of thing? What do you guys think?
I think it's like anything else. You take care of your horses real well, your neighbor might not. So, you know, I'm sure there's companies out there that take terrific care of their horses that operate these operations, and then there's ones that don't. I think do I agree that people don't pay attention to carriages? Yeah, I mean, we read the news every day from around the world, and there's horse and buggies being hit every day in different parts of this country. The Amish are perfect examples of that. They do put the orange triangles in the back of their cars, and people are still running them over. So I guess the question is, do you eliminate something for the stupidity of people? I don't know. I agree with you that there might be certain cities, like you're down in, there might be certain cities that are better adapted to it than other cities.
Yeah, it's a good word, adapted, exactly. And I'm not sure that New York City is the best place for them. I haven't been in New York in probably about 5 years, but I mean, when I did go before, and you always go down to Central Park and walk around, you realize that, man, these horses are standing on the side of these roads where people are going so fast by them, completely not paying attention, zipping by, and the horses, you know, for all intents and purposes, look exhausted. They look absolutely exhausted. And I don't think it's even a matter of which person takes good care of their horse and which person doesn't. I think the whole general atmosphere is not a great place for those carriage horses in New York. So would you support a bill to ban horse carriages in New York City, or would you fight it?
I probably would not support it. And this has been tried many times, by the way. This is about the 80th time this guy has proposed it. There has been a movement here over the last year. I've been reading a lot of stories about groups coming up and doing this. And I'm on the slippery slope. You know, you start this, then horses aren't going to be allowed because they look a little tired after a five-hour trail ride on a trail and, outside of New York City. So then we're going to have to ban horses from there. So I guess I wouldn't mind seeing regulations where they're being better taken care of. Eliminated, probably wouldn't agree with that.
Wow. Okay, so you're looking a little bit more of a big picture horse world. I'm focused a little bit more directly on this exact thing, you know, being is it really a necessary thing to have horses in the midst
this
of
is
New
also,
York City?
But this is also the city, you got to remember, that wants to eliminate salt. And and really dumb stuff, you know, where you're not given any choice anymore. So you gotta keep that in mind. That whole slippery slope thing does apply. You look at the groups that are fighting this. These are the same groups that don't want to see fox hunting. These are the same groups that don't want to see your horse really tired when it comes back from an event either. What I'm saying is you do have to sometimes take a look at the bigger picture too.
Yeah, okay, so you're a left
government
kind
of
guy.
Right.
You know, I'm learning a lot about your political leanings in this conversation, honestly. Less government.
That's right. No city. Oh, I didn't say that. No, that's not what I mean.
But, of course, if you guys are passionate about this, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. Now, Karen Heiser did post on our Facebook page, She said, I take the carriage around New York City Central Park whenever I'm there. I don't think they should stop the carriage rides, but make another road around the park. Most of the horses are taken care of, and I would miss them not being there. See, again, Central Park is like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres. Great idea, Karen. Take the horses in Central Park. Don't take the horses on the streets of New York City where they're dodging traffic and bullets and whatever the heck else is out there.
Oh, you know what happens then? Then you have all the bicyclists mad that there are horses on their trails. You know.
You know what?
You just can't. You,
run them over. Run them over. I don't care.
Thank you, Karen.
Oh, that's a great idea. See, I think a Central Park area is a great place for the horses to be. And I know that they've made some stables recently in Central Park. That was kind of part of a proposal was a boarding facility. Can you imagine how much it costs to board a horse in Central Park?
Yeah. What do you think that is, about $5,000 a month?
Exactly. $1 million a month.
We have a listener, actually. I just want to tell you real quick. We have a listener that listens to this Table Scoop radio show, and she is part of the police department, their horseback unit. And I actually got to talk to her on the phone one day, and it was so interesting because she'd been there for years, listening about the history of where the stables have been and, you know, all the politics that are involved in that. And, you know, she's one of those, like, citizen, but she actually rides the horses with the police department, but she's not an actual cop. So she was an interesting character. It was interesting to hear about the whole history of where the stables had been, you know, taking elevators up to get to the stables and things like that. It was pretty cool.
Wow, that is actually pretty cool. Well, listen, I got to tell you about our sponsor for this half hour before we go ahead and get to our next guest. And, of course, we want to thank Pfizer for being a sponsor. At Pfizer Animal Health, we're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Our expanded equine product portfolio includes our trusted Strongid C2X, West Nile Innovator, and the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus, equine herpes virus strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with Medistim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com.
You didn't mess up one word in that ad.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a professional. I'm a professional broadcaster.
I thought adjuvanted would be one that would catch you.
Listen here. I wanted to let you know that I am going to start studying. I have something to give back to our listeners and to our show and to our friend Liam across the pond, because I found a website, Glenn, that is going to change my life and your life as we know it. Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Okay, I want you to go to accenthelp.com. Learn, get the website, when you go to accenthelp.com, says get an accent now. And you can, for free, learn an accent. I mean, an every accent possible. Let me just give you some of the examples. Australian, New Zealand, Southern, Boston, Cajun, Central Plains, Midwest, Chicago, Estuary, Dutch, French, German, Irish, and then like North, Southwest, Dublin, an Italian accent, Mexican, New York City, Russian, Welsh, Yorkshire. I mean, everything.
Where did you find this site?
Listen, it's not what you know, it's who you know. No, I just Googled it.
You want to hear an audio sample? I got Cajun. You want to hear an audio sample?
Oh,
okay.
Okay, go.
Yeah, okay, all right. Let's see.
My grandfather owned a landing on the levee, which is by the bayou and everything. So that's
like
my culture. I've always been.
Sounds like Tammy.
It kind of did something. Maybe she's Cajun now. The Australian / Texas accent equals Cajun. It's like yellow and blue make green. Give me something else to work with, though.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely take a look at that. It's accenthelp.com. I want to hear an accent. You got an assignment here. In another month, we got to hear one of these. And
okay.
Better than your universal accent that you use for everything.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can already do all of these accents.
They all sound
I don't
exactly,
even need this help.
They all sound exactly the same.
I
all
do
right.
every one different. Go ahead. I'm done.
Get to our guest. Now, we're going to be talking next about one of the oldest horse shows in the country. And Jennifer and I have been there. It wasn't too far from where we lived and grew up. And that's the Devon Horse Show and Country Fair. And it's coming up this weekend, I believe. So we have Peter Doubleday, which, by the way, I absolutely think that's one of the coolest names ever. We have Peter Doubleday on with us from the Southern Pines, North Carolina. And he has been in the announcing world. He's done our job for a long time. He talked for a living, and now he manages a couple of horse shows, and he's co-manager of this one, and we wanted to get him on to talk about the Devon Horse Show. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. Great to be here, and we're getting all set up for a Thursday start.
Yeah, you guys are starting this week, and this is a fun show. Devon, tell us a little bit about Devon, the grounds itself, because it's not a setting that you would normally picture for a horse show that you would think of out in the country, you know, that kind of thing.
No, it's right in the middle of suburbia. It's right in the middle of a neighborhood it's about 40 acres, and it's a permanent facility. It has a lot of charm and nostalgia, and it's this is the 115th year. It's the third oldest horse show in the country. And it's a permanent facility that continues to get renovated, and we slap some more paint on things, and it's a beautiful spot. And it's a little tight quarters for all that we try to do here, but it's pretty special. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, for everything that you guys do at this one and then at the dressage show in the fall, it is tight quarters. And the thing I like about this particular show is it feels nostalgic because the buildings are not brand new. And you have all of the little buildings with the vendors in them and stuff. It just feels nostalgic. You just feel like you're going back in time a little bit.
Well, it does, and it has like a sort of an English flavor there. If you go to England and hang out at some of the county fair horse shows over there, they have the same kind of atmosphere, a little midway, little vendor booths that you described, but there's lots more going on other than the horse show, which makes this whole event very unique. So,
well, tell us some of the things that are happening.
Well, here's what's happening. We start Thursday for 11 days, and we run through June 5th, and we have all of the top hunters and jumpers and equitation riders. That's horsemanship where the riders judged, and they qualify to come here, so we have the cream of the crop. We have a couple of Olympians, one for sure that's coming, McLean Ward, who is a double gold medalist. He's coming in the open jumper division and has been a six-time winner of our major Grand Prix class, which, by the way, is our richest event, and that'll be on June 2nd. That's a $100,000 purse. And let's see, we have American Saddlebreds. They're the high steppers, and Hackneys. Hackney is our symbol of the horse show. One of our most prideful divisions is what we call the coaching. It's a coach and four with four horses that are draw an antique coach from the old days of England, and that's pretty cool. And then we've got a bunch of little exhibitions. Border Collies are going to do some sheep herding, and we have the Wells Fargo Stagecoach coming. They're our title sponsor this year, and some carriage racing, which is sort of a little, sort of a modified combined driving event where we turn up the rock and roll music and get the crowd involved, and they race through some obstacles and against the clock and in a driving competition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what really makes this show fun is all of the side stuff, all the demonstrations and mm-hmm. and different groups. I know that we saw the Canadian Mounties there one year, and I know you try and mix it up and do different things each year with the special events.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, the Budweiser Hitch has been here. They come here every other year. Yeah, it's fun. It's one of the few horse shows left that really attracts a nice spectator turnout, and so that gets all the people who show in the various sections. There's, you know, as I said, there's a ton of different things happening every day. That's what makes it special, because they're educated, they're enthusiastic, and they love what they see. They love seeing great things. So, Yeah.
I'm a driving guy, so I know that you have the stagecoach coming from Wells Fargo. That's always fun to see, too.
Absolutely. I'll be here the last 3 days, and we'll be is their trademark, and it's kind of fun to see that. You see that on all the banks, and now you're going to get to see it live. You get to see a real stagecoach from the Old West, and they'll make an appearance a couple times a day for the last 3 days. And but just the variety that we provide, and there is lots of, as you said, there are lots of carriage driving. So we have lots of various things, various aspects of that division.
Now, is it still support? I know this is done usually for charities. Is it still support the Bryn Mawr Hospital?
Yes, it does. And they annually, I don't have a figure in front of me, but they donate probably in excess of at least $250,000 in proceeds to the Bryn Mawr Hospital every year. So that's huge, and that's what brings everybody here too. Also, it's just a great effort, great volunteer effort. The volunteers here are amazing. So
I actually think that last year you guys donated a little bit more than that. You hit a record last year of $370,000, and
yes,
that was in a recession year. So
yeah,
I mean
exactly. Yeah.
Even in a recession, don't you find that people, and you run a couple of horse shows, people still spend money in entertainment because you need that entertainment. You need something to have you stop thinking about gas prices.
Oh, absolutely. But it's good family entertainment too, and it's good for the whole family. That's what's important, I think, here. You can bring everybody out, and even Dad, who might get bored of watching the horses, he can go and do some shopping. So, you know, it works good.
How much are the tickets?
You know, I will have to quickly look that up.
$8. I think they're $8.
It's very inexpensive just to get in. The general
I'm
admission.
Looking it up right here, too.
I am, too.
I'm going to find it.
I got to jump in while you guys are looking that up. Did you just say that when Dad gets bored, he can go shopping?
Yeah, sometime, or maybe mom gets bored, whatever. But and the kids, you can send the kids over to the little tiny midway, and ride the Ferris wheel. So, but hopefully they don't get bored.
No, I was thinking shopping and my dad in the same sentence would probably never happen unless I gave him a list of things to go get for myself. So, ladies, keep that with you. Make yourself a list. And just hand it to your papa and have him go over and buy you stuff because that'll keep him from being bored. But I don't think that too many dads would be bored at something like this.
No, maybe you might step out and get a cup of coffee or something like that. But
there you go.
The ticket prices are very open grandstand seating. They're $11, $12 around that. It's still a very good deal. Very inexpensive to come, and as I said, good for the whole family. So they have a great
And
time.
I was reading a little bit about your history. Boy, you've been an announcer for a long time for show jumping, haven't you?
Long time, and actually do all different breeds. I announce the World Championship Saddlebred Show in Kentucky every summer, and do the largest carriage driving pleasure show in the country, and so. Pretty well versed in everything. I feel very fortunate to be a part of all of the and enjoy all the segments of this great equestrian sport. But and the show jumpers are probably my main focus, obviously, with all the stuff that I've done. So it's been fun. It's been great to be a part of all the stuff.
I could listen to that buttery voice talk, for hours.
Oh, well, you're very kind. I inherited a voice from my father. My father was on radio and TV up in Syracuse, New York, and he was involved with the horse shows as a hobby because of his voice and got involved in some horse shows and used to drag me around as a kid, so that's how I got involved with the horse show world. So.
Now, I have a question because I have heard that you hear dressage at Devon, you hear the hunter shows at Devon. How many different shows do they have, and are you involved in all of them?
No, actually, I'm only involved in this, the main focus here, the Devon Horse Show and Country Fair, but they're hoping to book some more shows. They've made some monstrous improvements to the showgrounds. I mean, it's almost weatherproof, and they've rebuilt stalls so all the horses are nice and comfy and everything like that. So they're hoping to maybe once a month book some other, could be any breed. Could be a Welsh pony show or whatever. So, I'm just involved in the big show this spring. So,
Well, that's terrific. And, of course, that's this weekend, and you're going to be a busy guy. Now, are you doing any announcing here, or is your other hat going to keep you too busy?
Well, the other half will keep me busy. I'll do some of the evenings and probably just basically I'll scurry around and try to manage and organize during the day, and then I'm going to I'll speak and blah, blah, blah in the evenings. So that's what I'll do.
All right. So. That's great. I want to tell everybody it's the devonhorseshow.org is the website. And, boy, if you live anywhere near there, take a ride down. It's a lot of fun. I wish we lived near there because we could go this weekend. But I just got to drive my first four-in-hand of Hackney Ponies. So
wow.
I was so excited because I can honestly say I had no idea what I was doing, and I'm lucky I didn't kill us and them, but it was fun.
Well, that's great. Well, we hope to see you. Maybe you can show here at Devon some year.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath for that, Peter. You will not be announcing my name anytime soon. Thank you, Peter.
Okay.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right, that's the Devon Horse Show at thedevonhorseshow.org, and we'll put a link on Facebook as well. That's one, you never got to go to that one, did you? Because you never really lived up in that area. Did you say you never lived up that far? You lived in Ohio, but never in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the furthest I got was Ohio, which is, you know, right next to Pennsylvania. But, no, I never went to that. I did travel. I worked for a horse trainer, and we did travel to the Hampton Classic. So I did get to go to one of those big, giant, you know, two-week-long horse shows that's just, you know, awesome. So, yeah, I did go to that one, but never been to Devon, and it's just such a renowned place. You know, you say the word Devon, and you just think classy. So
yeah.
I'd like to go someday. You know, I didn't know that they had a fair, so that's kind of interesting to see the classy fair people that will work there. Just be interesting to see it.
You described it right. It's not like your typical fair. This is definitely classier than your typical fair. You're not going to see carnies there.
No.
I was going to say, is carnies a bad word?
Maybe.
No, we use
not
it.
If you pronounce it properly. No, what I think is so interesting about the Devon show is it's one of the lowest ticket prices you're going to find anywhere in the country for that level of showing. I mean, they have the super-duper – I mean, they got the big wigs there showing in all these divisions. It's not – a country show from that point of view. It's an A show. Lowest ticket price, highest quality of rider, and then when you walk around the shops, you're going to find barber there, and you're going to find mink coats. I mean, the little shops are just amazing to walk into, but I very rarely buy anything because I can't afford it. And it's such a dichotomy because cheap ticket price that invites the whole world in, world-class riders, amazingly, fantastically, outrageously expensive products, super-duper food, and a carnival. The whole thing is just such an oxymoron.
And
it's
he's
awesome.
Right. It's set in a suburb, you know. It's in
it
a
really
middle
is
of
the
a
suburb.
Yeah, there's houses all around it. So,
and
so cool.
When I think carnival, I think of, Joe Dirt. When he's working as a carny and they're like, you know, throw the dime up on the plate, and he's taking Pam spray and spraying the plates so they're slippery.
Yeah.
That's really
That's
bad.
That's how
if
they
I think,
do
if
that.
If I think festival and carnival, I think of Joe Dirt.
I lost more dimes than that, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't sticking. Now I know.
Well, they spray it with Pam.
And you know that
really
basketball
that
one. There's something wrong with that basketball one. You know that.
Oh, yeah. You can't throw a little softball into a basket and get it to stay. You just can't do it. They're tilted sideways.
The one I used to be able to do, we used to practice this at home before the fair came every year to our little town. And in New Holland, where I grew up, in Pennsylvania, they actually closed down Main Street, and the fair was set up and several of the other streets, and the fair was set up all week long on these closed streets. Well, the one where you actually could pick up the soda bottle with the ring, you know, on the stick, you know, the string, and then there's a ring, and then you the soda bottle's laying down, and you went to pick it up, we could actually do that one. So we got pretty good at that, and then they wouldn't let us play it anymore because we figured it out. But
well, how many 7 feet tall teddy bears
exactly.
do you actually need? I mean, your mom's like, great. He wanted
it all depends
again.
On how many girlfriends you had at the time, how many of those you needed. So.
Oh, there you go, you dog.
That's what those were for. Well, you know, this half hour is sponsored by Equestrian Collections. We talked about yesterday on the show, we talked about Helmet Awareness Day. Well, you'll be able to get your helmets on Helmet Awareness Day at Equestrian Collections. Plus, Riders for Helmets, the campaign itself, has all of their cool wear, their strap-on shirts and everything, all their new shirts that they have out are really cool, and you can buy those also at Equestrian Collections. As a matter of fact, exclusively there. So stop on over to EquestrianCollections.com for your helmet needs. Come Helmet Awareness Day, but at all other times, you're going to find everything you need for a rider, for a horse, for your kids, for your horse husband. They carry a lot of men's stuff, which a lot of stores don't do. Right now, they have a coupon for everybody that listens to the Horse Radio Network. It's radio show, all one word, radio show. You put that in the coupon section of checkout, and you're going to get $10 off your next order of $120 or more. And that also is for any time, anywhere, whether you're buying closeout stuff or anything. So that includes Helmet Day. So keep that in mind for Helmet Day. You can use that to get an additional $10 off. So that's at EquestrianCollections.com. Well, I thought a good song. I thought, you know, with everything that's happening in the country right now and everything going on, I thought maybe a more serious but, you know, heartfelt song would be appropriate. And that's why I picked. You want to just go to the bathroom or something here, Jamie. I don't want you crying when we get back.
Oh, God.
So this is Heart in Your Hands by Mary Ann Kennedy. Just go, I'll let you know when it's time to come back, okay?
All right. I'll be back in 10.
Riding my horse one day, I had a flash and I heard him say, it's more than leather that you hold. When you take the reins, you know. It isn't some kind of magic between animal and man. It's a desire to understand, and you can do it too if you put your heart in your hand. Walking my dog one day in a busy mind that was miles away, those eyes were looking straight at me, waiting for some love to run through that leash. It isn't some kind of magic between animal and man. your heart in your hand.
That was Heart in Your Hands by Marianne Kennedy. You can find all of her music at mariannekennedy.com. Jamie, you can come back now. Are you there?
Is it over?
It's over. So you're good. You know, no crying today. We've made it through quite a few shows without you crying, actually. We're doing okay here.
It has been a while. However, I did rewatch Seabiscuit the other day, which, of course, made me cry. And then on the plane to Hawaii, we watched Secretariat, which, of course, then made me cry. And then Rebecca Copping, who's the birthday girl today, sends me a message. Oh, my God. I am bringing you the movie Ruffian. Holy cow. If you have never seen the movie Ruffian and you want to get yourself into a funk for about 3 weeks on the couch with just eating bonbons and sniffling, that's the movie you want to watch. I told her, I was like, I have seen that movie and do not do that to me again. Okay? If you don't know how the movie Ruffian begins and ends, then you need to watch it because it is actually a true story and it'll about kill you. So, keep that darn movie away from me, woman.
That is not known for its happy ending at the end. They all don't walk down the yellow brick road.
No, I said to her, I go, are you crazy? You just watched that movie and you thought of me? Please, I will not be able to get off the couch for a month.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and that is Jamie Jennings, the crying one. And we are here with Jennifer H. over there producing today. And this show is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. For all of your animal health needs, you can check out what they have at PfizerAH.com. Before we get to our next guest, Katie is coming up here with the European Report from Horse and Country TV. But I wanted to – there have been some comments, very thoughtful comments on our Facebook page about the carriage issue in New York City, and I think Cynthia – thank you, everybody, for posting. And I think Cynthia really said it the way I – what I was trying to tell you earlier, she says, animal rights people are working hard to ban all animal use. If this ban is allowed in New York City, it will spread to other places, and you'll find that putting on a harness on any horse anywhere will be cause for cruelty allegations. So that's what I was trying – the point I was trying to make earlier, that slippery slope.
Well, then I read Colleen's, and that's kind of what I was thinking is you feel conflicted about it because, you know, you got the mounted police that are working so hard that are a fantastic part of the community, but she thinks, and I agree, that it seems like some of those carriage horses are rarely cared for well. They're on the concrete all day. They trot up and down the roads on the concrete, and it makes me worried that, like she says, those are tourist traps, and they're not really taken care of as much as they're supposed to. So you can look at it either way. You know, you can look at the big picture, which seems like what you and Cynthia, you guys are doing, or you can look at the individual right now and see what's kind of going on and horses that have been spooked and hit and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's why this is a debate. And I definitely respect everybody's side of it. So I respect you and Cynthia, Glenn, and Jeff, and Florence. It seems like everybody's on your side except for Colleen and I. We stand strong, sister.
And Jeff Dwyer must be from is from an Amish area, and he was talking about on there too about how many horses and how many, you know, Amish are killed every year because they're hit. And, you know, I remember going to school one day on the school bus, and we had about a half an hour ride on the school bus through rural Lancaster County, which is absolutely one of the most beautiful places in the country. It's all farmland, all Amish farms, and we were taking the school bus, and we came across an accident that had just happened. The school bus driver stopped, and we got out to help, actually. The carriage had just been pretty much demolished by a truck. And there were a couple people hurt, and we ran to the house and called the ambulance, and, you know, that was a sight to see, you know, and they had to put the horse down right there. You know, as a high school kid, you know, it's a sight to see when you come across something like that. And it does happen, but, you know, how many times I'm going to go against your argument a little bit. How many times have you been to a horse show, How many times have you been to a horse show when you've seen horses, you go, wow, they're not taking very good care of that horse. So it's not just carriage horses is the point I'm trying to make.
I don't know if I've been to too many competitions where I've seen that, honestly. It just depends on, I guess, what kind of competition you're going to. But I don't know. We could argue about this, off and on, I guess, for days. But I, Glenn, have you heard my dog bark at all recently? I keep turning off the microphone.
Your dog's awful noisy today.
Yes, that is my 14-year-old senior dog. And if anybody knows, this is totally off topic of the carriage rides or any of that, completely unrelated. But if we have any veterinarians
up
here. I totally deserve that. I totally deserve that because it's starting to bother me that she's in the other room and I can't get her up because she's 14 and I don't want to like kick her out, you know. And she takes her a little while to get warmed up to get off the floor. She is a basset hound. She's 14 years old. She's on like 3 different heart medications, but now she started getting like night terrors where when she's sleeping, she like all of a sudden looks up and around and starts like barking. And then she goes back to sleep. And it's happening more and more and more. And I just don't know what that is. Or if we have
is
anybody
it
who knows.
Or is she seeing a pack of bunnies that she wants to chase?
I don't know. She seems really mad. Like, she doesn't seem scared. She seems like it's like night, not night terrors, like night viciousness. I don't know what it is. But it's happening like now more and more often. She is a basset hound. She sleeps like 22, 23 hours a day. So it doesn't just happen at night. It happens all the time. So if anybody knows what that is or how I can fix it, it's definitely causing a little bit of a problem between my husband and I. I say she's old and leave her alone. And he's like, that's really frustrating that she barks all the time when she's sleeping. So somebody help me, please. Anyway, carry on.
Poor thing.
I know, I feel so bad for her.
Well, while we're waiting for a call from England here, I wanted to a couple of news stories. First of all, Shackelford, who beat the Kentucky Derby winner Animal Kingdom at the Preakness at Pimlico the other day. I took that out so I wouldn't be tempted to play it anymore.
Yeah, but it's in my head. It's in my every time the word Preakness is said, I hear Pegasus, half horse, half man, half da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You want to know what? I actually took a look around for the Bellmark to see if they did any advertising, any fun thing I could steal. It's just boring. They don't do anything. It's like boring.
That's because it's a real race. It's a real race with like real people that are like
boring
classy.
New York race. They don't do anything fun up there. It's just boring. I had nothing. Classical music on their ad. What am I going to do with
that? Are you done?
Okay, so the trainer of Shackelford says that it is likely that they're going to run him at the Belmont. So he says we would love to do that, and they're looking at doing that. So that's where we're at.
That's good. I think that the horse should race because I would love to see like a longer race between Shackelford and Animal Kingdom just to see which one is going to do it. But then what I would love to see during the Belmont when Shackelford is coming down the home stretch, his lead wire to wire, and then Animal Kingdom's coming up on the outside, and they're coming up on the outside, and they're running towards finish line, and here comes Mucho Macho Man on the far outside turn coming around, and Mucho Macho Man wins. That's my fantasy. Sorry.
What? Did you go do your audition yet?
You're going to say that. I totally forgot until right now.
You should do it. God, I listened to about 10 of them yesterday. By the way, what we're talking about is Horse and Hound announced the other day that they're going to have auditions for the first female race announcer in England. And they said, Jamie should go do it. And what you do, it's actually easy to do. They have a race on video on their website, on this website, and you go there. And, Jamie, if you could look it up for me in yesterday's show notes, I'd appreciate it. You can go there, and you can actually, if you're female anywhere, I guess, you can go there, and you actually call the race and record it, and then they put the recording up, and they're going to pick a winner. And there are like 100 of people that have done it so far. But most of them are really boring. You're good at it.
I should go ahead and give it a go. I don't know if I was good at it or not, but
Who cares? If you're bad at it, it's even better.
Thanks, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
We would really like you to suck. It would be lovetheraces.com.
Lovetheraces.com. Okay. Okay.
I tried to do it yesterday, and I couldn't figure it out. I was pressing buttons in every which direction. I couldn't figure it out.
I was trying to find the karaoke portion of it because they give you the names of all the horses and you can, like, read it as they're coming around the corner, and that would be awesome. I'd love to do it.
I think you should. I think you should. Now, I want to talk to – we're going to ask – first question we have to ask ask Katie is – and we'll see if she knows about it because Katie is from Horse and Country TV and does our European report, and she'll be here shortly – is would they ever pick an American to do that? We have all these British announcers over here, and they're considered the best announcers, but would it ever go the other way?
Look at Nigel. You're listening to Rolex, and it's like, and he's over the waterford, and he gallops down to the stream, and then he hops the river, you know. That's awesome. So maybe I would have that same effect over in Europe. They'd be like, oh, my God, her voice.
Katie's on here. Let's ask her. This is Katie from Horse and Country TV with our weekly European report. Katie, we're not even going to let you get started yet. We're talking about this, become an announcer, the first female track race announcer in England, and we think that Jamie should try it, but would they ever pick an American?
Oh, I don't see why not. I think it's worth a go, isn't it?
That's awesome. She should do it because her voice is fantastic. Oh, my God, she starts talking. I'm like, hee-hee. You guys just sound smarter. They'd probably be like, you know, like we hear English announcers at our horse shows, and they sound so smart and put together and classy, and then you'd hear me going, and there you go, y'all. Come on down, home stretch. It sounds stupid. So I don't think that that would be welcomely, warmly receptive in England as a race caller.
I don't know. I think you'd have a chance. You may as well give it a go.
I will. I'll give it a go. So another random question for you. Obviously, Katie, thanks for joining us with our Horse and Country TV European Report. Horse and Country TV, horseandcountry.tv is their website where you can find anything and everything about horses, videos, everything, blogs. So I was reading through the news this morning. And this is another dumb American question. I was reading through the news, and I was on some European website catching up on eventing. And the title of this ad, or the headline of this story was, and just explain it to me, Mark Todd pipped at Semur 3-star. Okay, obviously in France there was a 3-star horse trial called Semur, and it said Mark Todd pipped. Does that mean he fell off? Does that mean he was beat? What does that mean?
No, it's short for pipped at the post, which means he was just beaten.
Pipped at the post. Just beaten. Fantastic.
I didn't know that.
Okay, see, the next line is New Zealand's Mark Todd and Campino were pipped by Nicholas Toussaint and Hildogo de Lille. But yes,
okay,
there's no way I
can't be a race announcer.
Race.
Forget it. We're taking that back.
I'm terrible. I'm fired already. Okay, so let's get to what you actually called about, Katie. And what's new from Horse and Country TV?
Well, there's good news from Horse and Country TV. We have been nominated as the best specialist channel in the Broadcast Digital Awards in the UK. It's quite prestigious. Broadcast is the big, big industry paper over here for television channels. And we're up against big channels as well. People like the BBC and ITV are nominated in these awards. We are competing against Food Network UK and the Horror Channel for this particular title. But, you know, it's quite an accolade.
Hey, wait a minute. We don't have a horror channel. You guys have a horror channel?
We do have a horror channel, yes.
You know, most of our channels could be called a horror channel, come to think about it, for different reasons.
What is one channel, Alex, for 300 that Jamie would never watch? Ding! What is the horror channel? That would never happen, ever, ever. But first of all, congratulations. That is huge because I know, I mean, we don't have a horror channel, but the Food Network over here is ridiculously huge. So congratulations, you guys. That's awesome.
We're very, very pleased. I think it's... equestrian viewers are underserved in the UK, so it's really great that our reach is increasing and that we're being recognised for the work that we're doing. But speaking of the reach as well, the channel reach has increased by 20.5%. So that's in the last quarter. We've got 20.5% more viewers than we had last year. So we've broken in over the million people mark, which is an absolutely great, great thing for us. And, you know, great for horse riders in the UK as well, that they're able to find us and watch programming on something they really care about.
Well, I swear that there is education breeds interest. And the more people know about it, the more people are going to want to get involved with it. And the more, you know, our horses are better taken care of, the more educated people get. And then the more our land is preserved. And this, nothing bad can come of it. So I'm excited for you guys. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much, and I totally agree with you. A lot of it is on education, and on our website in particular, we've got a massive section on expert advice that allows people not only to watch videos and learn, but also they can actually just email us their questions, and we'll put it to one of our experts for them. So they have access to some very good horsey brains via our website.
Yeah, it's absolutely. All good. Now,
another question. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to – I think we're going to talk about the same thing because what on earth – we have seen this story all over the place, and, you know, Americans might not have the prettiest accents in the world, but I don't think we try to do this. And this is the story of a man who has been taking his pony everywhere with him. We covered this story yesterday on the show, and that we have to talk to you about it because this guy not only has taken his horse on the train, he tried to take it into a human hospital, and he also takes it into the bar. What is going on with this guy? Who is he? Who is this horse? And what is wrong with him?
It is the most bizarre story, and actually it made the national headlines here as well, and you don't get many horsey stories that do that. Yes, this is a man who's based in Wrexham in Wales. He has a little, what looks like a Welsh Section A pony. And there's photographs that you can see on our website of him trying to take his pony on a train. No idea why he tried to do it. I think he may have been a little distressed because he then tried to take the pony to A&E. Rumour has it that he's actually trying to sell the pony, although I'm not quite sure why he thinks he'll be able to sell it in the pub unless he finds someone that's had a few too many beers. But the pony looks perfectly happy. It's following him in a way that Peretti would be proud of.
Yeah, that could be any little kid's pony right there.
Absolutely. I mean, if I tried to take my horse somewhere like that with a really loud train coming into a station, I can guarantee she'd be on her hind legs. But this pony's looking very relaxed and very chilled out.
Oh, my gosh. My horse would throw himself in front of the train just to make it stop.
Yeah.
There's no way my horse would tolerate that. Now, we've read here that recently he tried to – he spoke out to the press. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but he told the Mirror – I don't know which paper that is, but that he loves his horse and he considers it his right to take Ruby wherever he wants. His name is Joe Purcell. He's 68 years old. And he also said that the mare, while bomb-proof, is also pregnant. She's in foal.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We've actually heard as well that the local council animal welfare officers are trying to get in touch with him because they'd just like to check the mare over. She doesn't look at all bad from the photographs that we can see, but I think because she's pregnant and she's being taken all over the place, they would just like to have a look and check her out and check her that she's okay, which I think is understandable. I mean, you know, I don't think I particularly like being dragged on trains and around to pubs in her condition.
And I also think that maybe they should bring a human doctor along to check out his status.
Absolutely, yeah. I think there's a little bit of confusion going on there, isn't there? I mean,
a little bit.
It's one thing taking your dog into a pub, but taking a pony, they're not quite house trained, are they?
we're not quite allowed to take dogs into pubs either.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
No. Hey, you got a story here too that see, we're taking over her show. You go on to the next one. Sorry.
Well. The blog of the week we actually, as a team that update the website, we also blog regularly on our website on horseandcountry.tv. And we've picked up on all these mad animals that are taking on equestrian pursuits. We talked about the show jumping bunnies last week.
Yeah, which and by the way, that went huge.
I bet it was massive. But we found something even perhaps more entertaining and more impressive in that we found some show jumping cats.
What?
Now, I kid you not, if you go and have a look on our website, there is a video of a German cat show jumping. Now, I would love to be able to train my cat, even just not to bring mice in. But, you know, watching this cat, it's been trained to jump to order, and it's jumping some pretty good ratios if you look at the ratio between the cat and the jump, and it is hilarious. It really is.
Okay, I'm on your... Hold on.
Can you imagine our cat, the Beast, doing this? Our cat would totally destroy the jumps, just for the fun of it.
I don't have a cat at all, but I'm pretty sure, I've had them before, and I'm pretty sure that cats are like the, you can train a zebra faster than you can train a cat.
Cats do what they want.
Oh my God, I'm watching it now. That is ridiculous.
Isn't that? But you know what really struck me is that this lady that's trained her cat has also got these little show jumping poles. Where on earth do you get these mini show jumping poles for cats from?
You make a very good point. Where does one purchase cat show jumping poles?
I'd like to know.
So,
it's probably the same place. You know, cats are about the same size as the little dogs that do agility, so that's probably where they get those.
Yeah, dogs are easier to train, though.
They've even got Cavaletti poles down on the ground, and it's more like a gymnastics grid. Like, they've got four trot poles set up. Oh, wait, he broke into a walk across those. All right.
Seriously,
like,
it really is
set
a good
up.
Video, isn't it?
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah,
and
they,
we'll post a link to that, too, on our Facebook page. That's at Horse and Country TV as well. So you guys are getting, you're branching out, not just horses anymore.
Well, we've always done more than horses. We've always done quite a lot of dog stuff, particularly gun dogs. So, in fact, there's a great series on our website by a guy called Howard Kirby, who's a dog trainer in this country. And he takes you through training your dog from puppy to advanced dog. But there's one particular video that's also very funny while we're on the animals. I don't know if you're aware of a method for training dogs called clicker training, which is based on the whole it's based on the Pavlov's dog theory.
Yep. We actually have one of the founders of clicker training for horses on the show on a regular basis.
Brilliant. He was demonstrating how you do this on one of his videos, and you could hear this pig grunting in the background. And I kid you not, he's clicker trained his Cooney Cooney pig. And there is a video of him getting his pig to sit, lie, stay on our website. So it goes to show it's not just horse sports, but you can train a pig to be a dog. It's getting weirder, isn't it?
Hey, I am very excited about something that you guys are doing on HRTV. You also work with HRTV over here in the United States. And when I saw this in the lineup, I was so excited. That because it's one of my favorite horse sports of all time, and probably there will be those groups out there that will say this is cruel too, but European Horseball Championships are going to be on.
Yes, indeed. They are going on to HRTV from the 30th of May. We're showing the European Horseball Championships. If you've never seen horseball being played, it's absolutely mad. It's very fast-paced. It's got an amazing amount of adrenaline in it. I think those players are brave. I have to say, you wouldn't catch me doing that.
Brave and nuts all at the same time. I think they're a little bit of both. I think you have to be to play horseball. We have a lot of friends, and they listen to the shows up in Canada who play, and that's how we learned about it. And they came down and did demonstrations at the World Equestrian Games. That's the first time I actually got to see it in person. Jamie, you would love horseball. It's adrenaline. It's sort of beating each other up. It's got everything.
It really
sounds good
is.
To me.
It's
got
very
violence
exciting.
And horses and balls. I mean,
we're also gearing up, getting ready to show you all the action from badminton 2011 on HRTV, and you can watch the dressage from last year's badminton from the 30th of May as well. Just to get you in the mood. Before we go for a massive badminton 2011 marathon on HRTV.
Which I'd like to point out is the exact opposite of horseball dressage.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Some control and some civilization. But you can see our schedule on the HRTV website. It's hrtv.com/calendar, and then you can have a look at when our programs are playing.
Oh, that's cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's good. It's a lot of fun.
I'm going to write a letter a day until I get HRTV out here in Phoenix. I swear, I am so sick of not having this thing. But I guess you can probably view some of it if you subscribe maybe on HRTV's website. Do you know
That's
anything
right.
about that?
Yeah, you can watch all our shows on the HRTV website if you subscribe to them, which is at hrtvlive.com.
HRTVLive.com, gotcha. Or just obviously go to horseandcountry.tv. And the videos you guys have are so fantastic and so educational. I have learned so much. I did the photography video, and I took my camera out, and I learned a little bit about getting the shutter speed right and fast-paced and, you know, blurring the background and focusing on things. It was very informative. And, you know, obviously I'm a huge Team Fredericks fan, and you guys always have great episodes from them. And what else do you guys have on the video side of it right now?
Well, we have all sorts of our video. As you said, there's lots on there. There's more than there's about 350 hours at the moment of video that you can watch on demand and for free. But one wow. in particular, you've heard of the amazing play War Horse with the puppet.
Yep, which is, by the way, it just won a bunch of awards here in New York because it started over here as well.
Great. It is fabulous. I saw it in the West End of London, and I have to say I had tears in my eyes from the very beginning all the way through. But in December, natural horsemanship expert Kelly Marks of Intelligent Horsemanship, she worked a lot with Monty Roberts. She took her horse, Pi, to meet Warhorse, and we have a video where you can watch the puppet interacting with the horse and just see what the horse makes of the puppet and vice versa.
Oh, cool.
And it's really interesting, and it's really amazing to look at how accurate the puppet is with its body language.
Oh, that's really cool. I got to watch that one.
Yeah, it's a really interesting video. It's really worth watching. She takes her horse, American Pie, and also one of her very young horses, I think it's Banksy his name is a four-year-old horse that's just been backed. Now, you know, for a start, she's bringing this young horse into an arena full of people, but, you know, you get a very genuine reaction from the horse to the puppet. It's really interesting.
I would think that they would spook for sure, like be scared of it, but I cannot wait to watch it. And, of course, you can find that on horseandcountry.tv. I'm watching it right now, so just search for the Kelly Marks website or video. So check that out, Horse and Country TV. And as always, thank you so much for being on our show and keeping us up to date and giving us the update and helping me figure out what certain words mean when I'm reading them and I don't know.
She's like our English translator.
I know. It's awesome. Well, Katie, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week. Obviously, horseandcountry.tv is the website. Everybody check it out.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right. Bye, Katie.
Bye.
Well, that's fun. They do some fun stuff there. And that's the thing I like about Horse and Country. There's certain networks in this country that talk about horses, but they're mostly boring. This one, they just do fun stuff. I like it.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's just educational and fun. It just depends on what you want. So they've got the horses out here in the arena. They're going to bring the war horse out. That'll be fun to watch. So everybody check that out, horseandcountry.tv, and you'll find the latest equestrian, you know, shows and videos and news and everything like that. So love the website.
I want to remind everybody, too, I've just gotten another email. We're working out some details here on our live from Graceland show on June the 10th, and it looks like everything's coming together for that. So we'll be live from Graceland and talking a little bit about Elvis and his horses and what horses are still there, and we're going to go in the day before and actually meet all the horses and take the tour. So we'll still, on June the 10th, still be coming to you live at 9 a.m. Eastern. Though I think it'll be 8 a.m. Central where we are from Memphis. And then we'll be actually set up in the barn, it sounds like. So we're going to be coming live from the barn at Graceland. So that's, you'll hear horses probably in the background. Winnie.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I don't get to go. You guys are taking a field trip without me.
Yeah,
living
we're
across
taking
the
a field
country.
Trip without you. That's right.
Downfall. Don't worry. I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure that you'll have my father there with you because he's the biggest Elvis Presley fan there is. I mean, he is an Elvis guy. Like, I look at pictures of my father from the 70s before I was born, and he looks like Elvis. I mean, he has chops, the hair, everything. I mean, the guy was wearing the leisure suits. It was fantastic. So, yeah, you may get more than you bargained for going to
well,
the stand.
I think that Raphael from Ivory Pal fame is coming over, and he's going to join us that morning and help us out there. He actually is the one that set this up, and he knows the lady that's run the barn there at Graceland for a very long time, and she's going to be our guest that morning. So Raphael's going to be joining us and sitting in the co-host chair. And I haven't told you yet, but it looks like we're going to need you to be producer that day. So you're going to be producing from Arizona that morning.
Wow, fantastic. I'm excited. That'll be great. You guys will be there having fun. I'll be listening, getting, you know, not able to chime in. And Raphael's taking my seat. Great. That sounds awesome. I'm so lucky.
I knew you'd be excited. Hey, and then the other conversation I had with this lady from Graceland, who's the PR person, I said, okay, now the important question, and we went back and forth about this a couple times yesterday, I said, now the important question, where do we get the good barbecue in Memphis? And she gave her suggestion, so now it's like we have three different places we have to try for barbecue in Memphis. So we're gonna be staying in Memphis for a couple days, I think, just to get all the barbecue eaten.
Gross.
See, you don't have to miss that, because if you were with us, we would be dragging you along to the barbecue place.
Yes, and the problem is with barbecue is that for a vegetarian, the only thing you can eat at a barbecue place is coleslaw.
Yeah, that's it. Because the beans are made with bacon and
And if they have mashed potatoes, they got pork and gravy in them and everything like that. So really lose-lose. So I'm glad I'm staying home. That'll be fantastic. I'm excited. I'm going to take a mini holiday that day.
You can do what Jennifer does when she's producing the show. You can do your nails while the show's on.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be doing something. If you go off the air, don't worry about it. You know, show's over.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being here. Of course, you can listen to the recorded versions of our shows, as we talked about earlier in the show at the beginning of the day. You can listen to us on iTunes and also at the horseradionetwork.com website. You can find all of the different shows in the Horse Radio Network. And we just programming note for next week, we're going to have a special edition coming out on Monday, the holiday, which Jamie reminded us yesterday, which Jennifer and I had totally forgotten about. Monday's a holiday, so we did a show that we recorded with the Western Radio Show folks, Alan and Tammy, and we're going to be putting that out for you on Monday. So we won't be missing a day. You'll just be hearing a recorded show that day. What else, Jamie?
You hear the dog?
Yeah.
You hear the dog?
Is he still sleeping?
Yeah, she's asleep. She's around the corner asleep. Somebody email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, or Facebook me, why my dog has these, like, fits of anger when she's sleeping. Again, she's, like, 14 years old and has a heart condition, and we're just doing everything. She's on her big, fluffy bed in the middle of the den. She's a piece of furniture at this point. So help me. She's a very loud piece of furniture now. And it's definitely starting to drive my husband crazy. It scares me to death, too. Because you'll walk by her and she'll, like, wah, 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 jump out of your skin.
Hey, Samiko posted on her Facebook page, I tried clicker training for my cats. I wanted to get them comfy with their crates, but I wasn't good enough trainer to train two at once. I don't think anybody can train two cats at once.
I don't think anybody can train a cat. I think that cat just chose to jump. Okay? The only reason.
I think the retreat's at the other end. Yeah, that's
exactly.
What I think. Yeah, and by the way, you can buy a clicker training kit for cats.
Oh, God. You know what? You can find a million ways to spend your money. Okay?
Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good day.